Bibles to, should we turn here? Yeah, let's do it. Psalm 119, verse 165. Read a couple of these verses. In this time of turmoil, do you have peace? How many have peace here? How many have peace? All right, for the two or three that don't, I guess this message is for you. And all the rest of us, well, we'll just strengthen our resolve in this. I was anticipating that we would have troubled people, but maybe they all stayed home like our sister Dana. Dana, I hope you're watching this on FaceTime or on Facebook, but or get to see it. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We have our hopes. We have our desires. And, you know, several of the messages over this past month have all been aimed at preparing us for what God has in store for us because he knows. He knows exactly what he has for us. And we know this. He wants us to be more than conquerors. He wants us to be salt and light. And we're going to look at those things. But also peacemakers as we have an opportunity. But in order to be peacemakers, and we're going to look at precisely what that means, but first of all, we've got to have peace ourselves. But Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they that love your law. You might put the word in there for us as New Testament believers, the whole counsel of God. If we love the word of God, we love the law, and the word of God says, and nothing shall offend them, nothing shall stumble them. Whatever the results of the election are, it should not stumble us, not if we love the word of God, not if we love the plan of God for our life. It shouldn't trouble us at all. We should take it in stride, not that we've got to be happy about everything that happens, but it should not steal our peace, and it should not threaten our resolve to glorify God, to win the lost, to make disciples. That's what we're here for until Jesus calls us home, one way or another. And for us to focus on our mission, fellowship with our Lord, and go forward in the plan of God for our life, no matter what. Has anyone here been thinking about going to jail? Anybody? Only me? Really? David has too. All right. So I'm not being prophetic. I was just like, I like to be prepared for whatever happens. Yeah. So... Well, yeah, because that you went to jail for crimes. And if preaching the gospel is a crime, I'm probably prison bound. Yeah, if it becomes a crime. I'd say more if we weren't on Facebook right now, but we are. So for all you people that are watching on Facebook and anywhere else on the internet, It also is a blessing and a curse. You know, for all of you that need to stay home because you're not able to get out and you're able to connect with us, thank you, Lord, for technology and for the ability for you to join us, at least get the message. We're sorry you can't actually be here with us in person. So that's the blessing part. The cursing is if you're just too lazy to get in your car and come here, then... God help you. We love you. We want you here. You need to be here. Now, I know some of you are probably, you know, far away and, you know, it's not even possible. But just in case you are getting addicted to the internet and not getting out to get in real fellowship in real time with the people of God, you're cheating those that you should be with. And we need you. We want you. And you need us too, whether you like to admit it or not. So there. Anyways. So, does anybody ever say that to the camera on the internet? I don't know. I don't watch enough of that. Yeah? So, anyways, it's all said in love. And you know, if you didn't click turn it off already, it's because you love conviction. That's good. Keep watching. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." That's a promise from God. That's not just for Israel. That's for every single one of us. That if we keep our mind stayed on God, on his word, on fellowship with him, he will keep us in a little bit of peace. It says perfect peace. Temporary peace? No. Perfect peace. This is divine peace we're talking about here. Something from outside this world, outside this universe. The world can't have it. Maybe you sing that song, and the world can't take it away. But this is what our Heavenly Father wants us to have, this kind of divine peace that depends upon Him, depends upon His Word, depends upon fellowshipping with Him in the Spirit of God, and He wants us to have it, and I love it, and I want to keep it, and I don't want to forfeit it, and I want to help everyone else that I know to tap in, receive it, and then spread it around. So anyway, I did mention about those, if you've never thought about going to jail, I have, and I, you know, if I ever get arrested for preaching, and actually they probably will set you up on some other kind of charge, like who knows what, but you'll know that you're actually there because they just want to shut you up. But you know what? Unless they put us in solitary confinement, we'll have a revival in jail. Send me to jail. Let's do church. You're going to lock me up with a bunch of guys? We can't do much of anything? Well, we can worship God. If it's solitary confinement, well, then it'll have to be, prayer time. That's what it'll have to be. We'll have to be a monk. But if we're locked up in solitary and we pray and we really start praying, who knows what'll happen, you know? Could be an earthquake wrecks the jail. It's happened before. But, you know, God could answer with miracles. We could be more effective even in solitary confinement. Now, I don't really want to get tortured like Richard Wurmbrand or, you know, that's. But if it happens, the plan of God for our life is still perfect. So, Matt, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to revisit some places we've been recently. Here in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to read some of the blessings. Not going to get into all the Beatitudes. We're just going to focus on a couple of them here. We're going to start with verse 9. It says, this, jumping right in the middle, Jesus is speaking. There's thousands gathered, you know, just probably on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. There's this concave hillside there that's right near the traditional spot, which they call the Sermon on the Mount spot. And there's a building up there and all that. And that's where all the tour buses go. But we had a guy on our tour bus that actually slowed down. He said, this is probably more likely the place, because if you stand in that bowl right in the center of it, your voice can be heard everywhere in the bowl. And you could put a few thousand people in that bowl, and you could actually speak to everyone without amplification because of the acoustics of that bowl. And that's, we don't know, we'll find out, but that was his thought, that this is more likely the place where the Sermon on the Mount, and that was the people that were on the mount, and Jesus was probably down at the bottom of the bowl. But anyways, that's the scene, and he's preaching here, and he says, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You want that blessing? We're going to look at how many blessings do we want here? Jesus lists a whole bunch of blessings. Some of them are easy. Yeah, I want that one. I want this one. Blessed are the peacemakers. I've actually had some people come looking for me to be a peacemaker on a few occasions, and then I get called in for counseling. A lot of it's marriage counseling, but other kinds of counseling as well, and they're actually looking for me to be a peacemaker. They're at odds, and they want me to be in the middle, and interesting place to be in the middle of sparring or warring or whatever, factions or spouses, but the whole point is to be a peacemaker, to bring the peace of God and the mind of Christ into that situation so they can have peace, because it eluded them. But there's a blessing on it. But this is not talking about making peace between us and the world. That is not what's in view here. Because the world is at enmity with God. Now, God loves the world, because there are lost souls in it still waiting to be saved. That's why God loves the world, and that's why we're here. Because He loves the world, because there are people there that are going to become His children, and they haven't done it yet, so He loves the world simply because they're there. The same dynamic as the pearl of great price. He buys the field for the treasure, and He sells everything that He has to get the pearl of great price. His eye is on the treasure, the pearl, the lost that are going to be saved, but he doesn't love the world for all of its wickedness and its hatred for God and for his children. And there are some Christians that they're thinking that it's their job to be, you know, make nice with the world. And they're compromising and they're backslidden and they're mistaken and deceived. And we don't want to fall into that category. We're not here to make peace with the world. Jesus came to bring a sword. He's here to bring the lost that are willing to be saved out of the world. And when he's done with that, he's going to pour out his wrath on it. So don't fall into the trap of thinking we've got to make peace with the cosmic system that Satan controls. Now, we are called to be at peace with all men as much as we can. That's the context there. And there is a limit. You know, we can't be at peace with people who are absolutely sworn to do everything they can against the people of God. We just need to be wise as serpents and learn how to manage our exposure, basically. And we have brothers and sisters right now that they are meeting in secret, because if they get caught, they go to jail. They don't want to go to jail. They want to keep on preaching the gospel, and they're winning their family and their village population to Christ, and they're the underground church. And Pastor Scott gave a devotional about that, his experience in one of the stands. Tajikistan? I can't remember which stand he was in, but anyways. We're to be peacemakers with people and their Savior, with people and their Heavenly Father, those that are willing to be saved. We're here to let them know there's good news. They're loved. Their sins are paid for. And if we can help them make peace, find their peace with God through faith, that's what we're here for. That's what we're called to be, peacemakers. And in some cases, among brethren, among saints that are, for whatever reason, at odds, if we can be peacemakers with brothers and sisters, some, maybe neither party is lined up with truth. Maybe that's why they're at odds. Or at least one party, obviously, is not lined up with truth, and they're at odds with another party, and they're looking for someone to mediate between them. And actually, in the scriptures, we're actually commanded, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and they were actually going to court in the world system, Christians against Christians in a court, and he said, basically, shame on you, take it to the church and let the church leaders decide. He didn't even say let the church leaders decide. Basically, let the babes in Christ decide, if you get into the context there. Anyone in the church should be able to sort this matter out, is what he was saying to the Corinthians. But to be peacemakers, there's a blessing for us to be peacemakers between sinners and their Savior. Then the next two blessings, there's actually a double blessing on persecution. Now, does anybody here just can't wait to get persecuted? Good. I don't know what I'd do with you if you really were. But how many have already prepared your mind that you're not going to back down and you're not going to run and hide? Now, there may be a time to actually physically run and hide. You know, they're out to get. Paul did that on several occasions. But as far as spiritually, emotionally, no. We need to be prepared in our mind for whatever God is allowing and be ready to give an answer. And so he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Do you want this blessing? If it's the will of God, our answer should be yes. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this is the second blessing on the same scenario, getting persecuted, double blessing on persecution. And he says, we should rejoice and be exceeding glad. Let's be ready to do that. And I've already, in my mind, I've prepared, if somebody like really goes off on me and tries to revile me or whatever, then I'm just going to say, thank you so much. You're really blessing me. Keep going. You know, and they won't know what to do with that, and I'll enjoy them being, you know, They'll think I'm out of my mind while I'm driving them out of their mind. So, haven't had an opportunity to do that yet, but and I'm not, you know, going to wait in line for it. I'm not going to go looking for it, but I want to be ready if and when it happens. Are we going to be able to rejoice? But the context here, then he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. When I first read that, I wondered, what's that? How does salt lose its saltiness? I was only used to table salt, you know, and you don't find that. But, you know, as I, long time ago, read and studied, and some of you that are in agriculture, you know, maybe you see the salt blocks that farmers put out in their field. How many have seen those? You know what I'm talking about. All right, for those of you that don't, farmers actually take a block of salt and put it out in their field. Well, that those blocks of salt are not just NaCl. There's other minerals in them. And especially in Bible times, they would have a salt block with many other minerals. And when the rain would come, it would wash the NaCl, sodium chloride, wash that out. And did I get my chemistry right on that? Yeah, I got that? Okay. So I know the homeschool moms know this stuff. It's been a long time. My wife's a chemistry teacher. But anyways, the block is still there, and there's no salt left in it. And the only thing it's good for is patching the road. Throw it in a pothole. Run over it. That's what he's talking about here. Well, unfortunately, there are certain portions of the church this has happened to because they've compromised and they've lost their saltiness, and the world is out to just run right over them because they see them as hypocrites, and because these Christians that get misguided, they're trying to be like the world and they're trying to make nice with the world. Now, we're to love, we're to overcome evil with good, you know, make ourselves irresistible as much as we can by the love of Christ, by the wisdom of God. I actually have an extended family member. She's fit to be tied. She doesn't know what to do with my wife and I because she loves her sister. I'm not sure if she loves me or not, but she says so, I think, sometimes. But anyways, but she wants to hate us because we voted for Trump, but she can't be happy hating us because she wants to. It's like she's so confused. But that's all right. We'll love her. We're going to keep on loving her and praying for her. And I said that just as an example. You're going to have people like that in your life. They're going to want to hate you, but if you love them and you're kind and sweet to them, don't compromise a thing, but just be loving and kind, and they won't know what to do with you. And they might just run and hide, but that's all right, because sooner or later, you know, God will flush them out. So he says, if you lose your saltiness, we're useless to this world. Our mission will fail. If we're going to complete our mission here, we got to be salt and light so we can offer some hope to the people that are lost in the darkness here. And just remember, they're just going to get run over anyways. You know what? If we don't want, we want to be salt and light. So if they try to run over us, well, we're going to be more like a landmine. You know, a landmine of grace. They run right over us, and the grace of God and the truth comes out. And we'll pray for them in the midst of it all. And God will give us victory because he's promised us we can overcome evil with good. In John 14, I'm just going to quote some verses because we're already past our time here, but we're not slaves to the clock, so I'm going to willingly, purposely go over time. John 14, 27, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world, cosmic system, not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." So whatever the election results are, don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah, we want what we want. We know. We prayed for it. We desire that. We hope for that. That's true. God already knows. Have we adjusted to the grace of God for whatever his plan for our life is? Yeah, he wants us to have his peace and not let our heart be troubled. And don't be afraid. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tells us to be anxious for nothing. And there the promises are that if we'll just let our requests be made known to God, that he will let his divine peace be a fortress around our thought life. I'm summarizing and paraphrasing there, but you can read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So the word of God, loving the word, praying according to his perfect will, and knowing that there is a provision of supernatural divine peace to be a fortress around our thought life. To be salt and light, this speaks of our words, our attitudes, and our actions. As we go about the life that God has given us here on the face of the earth under the sun, while people are looking on, and let the people all around us see the wisdom of God and the power of grace in our lives. We'll just finish up here in Matthew 5. In the context, he goes on, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Are you ready to shine? Yeah, let's shine. You know, I embarrass my wife. I do that on a regular basis. I have no intentions of stopping. And she knows that too, and she still loves me. We went to the polls, and we were standing in this line. It was long, and I'm thinking, I don't think I can wait this long. I got to go to the chapel, open the chapel by 11 o'clock for a prayer meeting. And just as I'm thinking this, a lady comes up and says, if you're in District 3, you don't wait in this line. You go right around and go up the stairs and vote. No line at all. We were out of there in a couple of minutes. And so as soon as she said that, I said, hallelujah, nice and loud, for everybody in line to hear. They're waiting in line. I'm praising God. And then I'm walking by him. I'm like, sorry for you. I'm in District 3. Anyways, so then as I cast my vote, I said it again. I think I said it when I signed my name. And then they hand me the ballot. And then when I slid my vote in the voting machine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My wife's like, I'm saying, I'm going to get you one of those t-shirts that says, I'm not with him. But actually, some of the people, only ones I was paying attention to, they actually enjoyed it. I'm enjoying it. I'm shouting hallelujah, and they like the idea. Nobody shouted hallelujah back, but keep it up. It happens. Actually, I've tested this theory out under a ski lift in Austria. It was a powder day. Man, I was shouting hallelujah with every single turn. And the kids that were on the lift on the way up, they got used to seeing me coming down. And so as I started coming down, they were shouting hallelujahs back from the chairlift back to me as I'm shouting my hallelujahs. So it gets contagious. So, we'll close with this. Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's our words, our attitudes, and our actions. They are salt, they are light. Verse 17 says, I do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And Jesus did fulfill that law of Moses when he died on the cross in our place. So he fulfilled the law, and he's given us prophecy. We know how this ends. We know what's going on. We don't know who's going to win this election yet, but we know way beyond that. We know Jesus is coming for his church. Maybe we'll be here alive still when it happens. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years, and then we've got a new Jerusalem to live in for age upon age upon age, and those are fixed constants. That's not going to change. We have a lot to give thanks for, a lot to look forward to, a lot to be saying hallelujah about, and it helps us to be salt and light right here, right now in this evil world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we know what's written at the end of the book. And we know that you have the victory, you've won the victory, you're giving us the victory, and you're allowing us to demonstrate it in real time. Lord, to walk in it and help others to see it, what it looks like, to walk in the joy of the Lord, to have confidence in you in uncertain times and even in turmoil, Father. And if things get really bad, as some people say they will, that doesn't change your plan for our life at all, and your promises all hold true. Lord, you're our provider. You're our protector. We thank you for it. You've given us an expected end, and we thrill to walk with you in it. Now, if you're watching this on the internet, if you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. The sooner you do this, the better, and if you can do it right now, then please do it with me and ask Jesus to be your Savior, because he wants to be your Savior. Pray with me. Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me the gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen. And if you're praying to receive Christ, we would love to send you a New Testament. If you'll contact us, email us at our church website, or call us on our church telephone number. Hopefully you'll see those on your screen. We'd love to send you a New Testament. Answer your questions. God bless you. Come and join us if you're not too far from Malta. We'd love to have you come and worship with us as well. Now we're going to take the next 20 minutes and set the chapel aside for prayer. So if you got to be going, thanks so much for coming.